Morning, everyone. Is there anyone out there? Good morning, anyone? Everyone? That's better. Right. Excellent. Aren't some of our songs amazing? The song we had, Indescribable, I do wonder whether it was a dad or a mum that had just had their kid ask them a load of questions. Who told everyone where lightning bolts go? Have you seen where all the snow's kept? Is it a great big warehouse somewhere? Look at the sun, isn't it amazing? Where does it go at night time? And I don't know. I can imagine the parents saying, it's indescribable, uncontainable. It's great to be part of a community where we can share and talk together. I've been given the pleasure of talking about being spiritually active. Now, I first of all want to say thank you to all those who have spoken so far throughout the weeks leading up to now. They've been fantastic. Opened up God's word and really enlightened us. I stand here as someone who's had a great week and a rubbish week. I've lost my patience. I've been disappointed. I've got angry. I've shouted. Hey, but here we are. Like most of you, probably when someone starts talking about spiritually active, you might think about all those things that you don't do, like I've just had this week. It has. It's been a bizarre week for me. Ended in England losing and then me getting a little bit annoyed. Now, sometimes we come to church and we see those around us and we look at them and go, ooh, they're spiritual. Look at them jumping around, waving their hands in the air. I just want to keep my hands in my pockets. Have you noticed that if you ever watch me, I worship from my pockets? Yeah, my hands stay there. I'm not, I look around and sometimes think, look at the words they use. They're so spiritual. Well, I'm here to say that we all are. We're all involved in it, whether you like it or not. And to be spiritually active isn't just the manifestations that we sometimes see in others. It's so many other things that we've got going on. Can you forward me the doodah? Do what? It worked all right this morning, didn't it?
Maybe I just messed
it up. Right, you haven't messed anything up. Can we move on the slide, please? Have a try now. Oi! Right, the unseen works now. The Trinity. Thanks to whoever came up with the idea. It's really simple, isn't it? Three in one. Yeah, we can all describe that one. I don't know if you've seen the architecture of churches. It only struck me in fairly recently what that symbol meant. I thought, oh, that's nice. That's in a lot of churches, that. Yeah, and then suddenly it dawned on me, it actually means the Trinity. Like three circles intertwined. Sometimes it looks more Celtic, but there it is. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I feel totally inadequate when it comes to talking about the three of them as one. I'm a math teacher. I deal in absolutes, one and one is two, and all that sort of stuff. And I had the great delight of turning up one day to find out one of the RE teachers was off and I was covering his lesson. Great. To find it was a GCSE class that we're getting ready to talk about the Trinity. So I walk in, not knowing what I'm about to do, and there it is in front of me. Sir, can you describe the Trinity, please? Shall we put the PowerPoint on? Let's see what Sir's got to say. You see, I teach in a Catholic school, so I have to be very careful. It's quite interesting, but there are so many different analogies out there of what the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father and how do they interact, come together, that none of them is actually perfect. I can just imagine the three personalities, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sitting around a table going, right, names everyone. What should we call ourselves? I'll be Father. Yep, that's why everyone can recognize that. Yep, I'll be the Son. Good one. Everyone recognizes that. What are you going to be? Ooh. Let's make it complicated for people, shall we? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, something that's a little bit vague. It's really difficult to get our heads around. The English language is rubbish when it comes to describing the Holy Spirit. We get sort of caught up with some vague notion that it's some sort of gaseous presence you can move around. He's a person, part of the Trinity. Part of my training on Friday, we had a teacher training day. It's my half term, by the way. Yeah, it's weird because ours is next week and everyone else has got the week after. But we had our staff training on Friday and we started with the liturgy. It's what a blessing to be in a school where you're told you have to pray. And it's not many places you can go to work and they say, by the way, you've got to start with a prayer. But one of the things that it started, there were so many things that were said on that day, but one of the things that was said that really stuck with me was it started with a prayer that had Father, to the Father who made us, to the Son who saved us, and to the Holy Spirit that walks with us. And it really struck me that the Holy Spirit is not just a casual attendee. He walks beside us on a daily basis. The three characters, three in one, Jesus refers to it regularly, doesn't he? Within there, that I am in him and he is in me, and so forth. All interconnected, intertwined. Right, being a good teacher, I'm going to get you to do some work. This week I had an interview for a job. Yeah, I got a promotion. And I got sent the job description through an email, and you have to write a letter to say why you think you are qualified for that position. It's the hardest thing I ever... I hate talking about myself like that. You know, you're like, I'm really amazing at, because I just feel that... I don't like blowing my own trumpet like that. But I wrote the job description, and I had to say why I believed I fulfilled that role. So, from the readings, those of you that were paying attention, now you're all scrambling for the Bibles that are in the back of the chairs, what job description does the Holy Spirit have? Okay, so have a talk amongst yourselves. You can turn. What job description does the Holy Spirit have? There you go. Start chatting. Okay, I'm going to call you to order now. If I can have your pens on the table and facing this way, please. Right. I'm not going to point at anyone because that, you know, that would be awkward. I do have a laser pen on here, though, so if you don't react, I might. What words can we do? Can we come up with that describe the Holy Spirit's job description? Go on, shout something out. Pardon? Comforter, thank you. Advocate, thank you.
Counselor,
thank you. Have you seen my PowerPoint?
Yeah.
Go on, Els, come on. What other things? There's more.
Bringer.
Pardon?
Bringer of peace.
Reminder.
Example.
Guide.
Helper.
Inspiration.
Spirit of truth.
Shola. Okay. It's too many Okay. Right. Well, I picked out a few. You got them almost in order there. That's a little bit worrying. Yeah. Comforter, advocate, counselor, strengthener, truth, and invisible, I went with. They're all fairly human traits, aren't they? Things that you would see amongst people. You know, The images sadly don't come up. We had a little bit of a issue with PowerPoint transferring between different types and pictures changed. But On the top, there's a parent comforting a child. I've no doubt that amongst in your lifetime, you have comforted someone. Whether you're a significant person in a child's life and you've picked them up and comforted them, or whether you've got friends or family who have been going through challenging times, you have comforted them. That's a trait of the Holy Spirit. An advocate, those of you that stand up for a spirit of truth and justice, when you see things that are going wrong and speak out against it, whether it be what's going on in the wider world, in war-torn conflict areas that we feel absolutely horrified and find abhorrent, to the way that someone's treated in a shop, the way someone's spoken to. A counsellor, that person who sits and listens to you and then gives you sage advice. I'm sure you've done that for someone. Sat with them, listened, looked them in the eye and said to them, and then made a difference. The picture of strengthener is actually a latticework of reinforced steel that's about to get covered in concrete. That hidden strength. You don't see it in concrete, and if you do, worry. Okay? Either means the concrete's not thick enough or they put it in the wrong place. But a strengthener, how many times have you been that rock for someone when things aren't going right and you've stood by them? You've not needed to do anything, just stood by them, giving them the strength to carry on. The image of truth there, I quite liked it. It's a metal sheet with the word truth cut out of it and the light shining through it. Oh, to have truth where the light shines through. Not half-truths. I mean, Andrew was speaking last week, wasn't he, about those truths and half-truths that are out there. But the light shining through. There are times in life, aren't there, when we have the opportunity to speak truth. Whether it's through the way we speak about our faith, or whether it's just speaking, being honest about what we've done and who we are. We start the service with a moment of reflection on the things we've done right and wrong in a week. How many times have we started off by feathering our own nest before the truth comes out? Yeah, just like, let's make it a little bit nicer before we let on really what happened. Yeah. And then the invisible. I've got this sort of image of that's the invisible man, those of you that can't see him. The irony. Yeah, thank you. Unseen. How many times do we do things in life that are unseen by many? Those that are working tirelessly behind the scenes of doing stuff. Invisible. But alongside, we had friends come and stay with us. They drove down from Perth yesterday. Can you imagine that? Friday night, they drove, not Perth in Australia, but the one in Scotland. And they drove down through the wind and the storms. You know, they made it to us, and we had a wonderful time together. But as they left, we say, we pray for you regularly. We don't know that. They've just told us that, you know, but they're there in the background. Talking of the effects of weather, things that are unseen have an impact that we don't necessarily know is there until it happens. So the wind that we had on Friday night, those of you that drove around in it or were out in it, you could definitely feel the presence of the wind. I don't think you saw it. And actually the day after, when you saw the leaves scattered across the road and the branches that were down and maybe bits of building that have peeled off or whatever that's happened, very much an unseen power. Our Holy Spirit is like that. And often we don't realize until the effects of what's going on that the Holy Spirit's actually been working in and through us. That Holy Spirit is invisible. Now, sometimes things just happen you know, I think by chance, but, you know, God incidents, whatever you want to call it. I came in this morning and I ended up talking to Chris Vass at the back of the church. And I've never really picked one up, but other than when people have come forward and handed it to me, you know, and you pray for it. Has anyone looked at one of these? Yeah. Sandra, you're nodding. Yeah. Explain it. Describe it.
Well, it's got little men's marks in it.
Okay, yeah.
Little cut marks.
Yeah, anything else? Oh, you walk past it every day. Every Sunday, you will walk past it. You see. Anyone else? Pardon? Seven sides. Someone said 20p to me this morning. Anyone else? Ah, I see. So familiar. You all recognize it. You've seen it before. Yeah, there's a mouse on the back. Yeah, but that's not what I was looking at. That's not the bit that I... Because once you know the mouse is there because it's Mousy Thompson stuff. Are there words inscribed in it? Not that I can see. But there's two little dots on the back. Those little dots are little infills of wood. Little circular infills. Now, I think... my hobby's wood turning, by the way, so I've got a little bit of insight in this. I reckon they mounted this on a lathe and they drilled two holes in it so it could not fly off and hurt anyone. And held it on the lathe, but when they finished, they didn't want it to be two holes in the back. Right. And they've repaired it. Unseen. Yeah? However many of you have carried this to the front, you've not seen that. You might have noticed the mouse on the back and the 98 that's sellotaped to the back. But those two little marks, unseen, the maker's mark, as you were suggesting. Unseen, but now that I've pointed it out, you'll not be able to unsee it. Just like with the Holy Spirit, once you start seeing the Holy Spirit at work, you can't unsee the Holy Spirit at work. It's there, it's happening all the time. I caused mild panic this morning when I took this because someone was looking for where they'd all gone, but there we are. See, we've got these traits, these job descriptions that describe the Holy Spirit, but they are also describing us to some extent. On the left here, we've got a famous piece of artwork. Anyone recognize it? Yeah, it's just over there. Not noticed. We've got our own. Yeah, The Last Supper, Leonardo da Vinci, not Caprio. Those people spent years with Jesus in their presence. They got to know him, spend time with him. They would have learned what he was like, how he was probably going to react to things. Jesus would have worked out how they were going to react to things. He was really good at that. He spent time with them and then he released them. He gave them freedom. And from that they grew. To what we experience today in our Gospels and the Acts and the Apostles' Epistles and all those other things that we go through. Jesus had already forewarned them that he wasn't going to be around. But if you love me, you'll keep my commands, and I will ask the Father. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives in with you and will be with you. It's almost as Jesus is talking to you right now. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live in you and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am the Father and you are in me and I am in you. It starts to get complicated, doesn't it? That Trinity thing again. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Spending time with the Holy Spirit is no different to spending time with Jesus, the Son, or God the Father. You get to know them. You'll start to show their traits. You'll be influenced by what they do and say. I was saying earlier that being a teacher, sometimes you have to prepare children for exams. They're sitting in a hall as if you've abandoned them. You've imparted all your knowledge to them, and then you step away and say, get on with it. You can imagine there's an element of fear that creeps into a child's mind when the exam doors close. No more access to the teacher. But I often say to my kids, my students, pupils, imagine I'm there with you. Imagine, oh, what are you talking about, sir? Imagine I'm there with you. Imagine the question you're about to ask me, and then imagine my response. It's amazing how many of them come out of the exam and go, do you know what? I was sitting there and I couldn't do this question. And I thought, I'm going to ask, sir. So I asked you. And then you said this, and I said that, and then you said this, and I said that, and then I went, oh, I know how to do it now. Now, I'm not some omnipresent being that can sort of enter through the exam room. And those of you that are teachers know that you are not allowed in that room. Once they've started that exam, the doors are locked, are sealed. You can't get in. It's amazing how the human mind works. And because they've spent so long with me, many of them 2 or 3 years, they know how I sort of function and think. And they have a sort of freedom and a release that once they go, well, sir does it this way, and I think I'll, yeah. There's a freedom to and a release to go on and do something for themselves in their own world. I do find it quite scary that I've had influence over thousands of children's lives. It is very scary when they come up to you in a car park when they're sort of 30-something with a beard, and they look at you and go, hello, sir. And I have no idea who they are. You could be in the room right now. Hi. You've grown up now. I don't recognize you. But to think that you've had some influence. And the Holy Spirit, if you spend time in the Holy Spirit's influence, and it's amazing how quickly you start to fulfill the job descriptions that the Holy Spirit has. Time with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will give you release and freedom. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. Slaves are imprisoned, aren't they, really? Can't do their own. So the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, that the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. You're part of the family. And by that, we can cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's more than just a passport. He stands by you and says, I am in him and he is in me. Now, if we are children, then we are also heirs. Heirs of God's and co-heirs with Christ. That's mind-blowing. That's being like being adopted by King Charles and then being told you're now a full-on prince. Yeah, you've got all the rights, but I'm just some bloke from down south. You have been adopted into a royal family, and you can and have the right to spend time in their presence. And then it goes on to say, we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. As we go through and we spend time in the presence, we'll have that freedom and release. but so importantly, we'll have an opportunity to grow. One of the analogies I used earlier about growing is you don't leave the seeds in the packet when you want them to grow. You can dig a hole and chuck the packet in the ground, it won't do anything, because they're sealed off from all the nutrients and stuff that they need. Then the packet needs opening and doing something with. You have that release now. You're out the packet, and it's time for you to grow. And it doesn't have to be jumping around, looking in a particular way, or speaking a specific thing. It can be that counselor, advocate, helper, all those words that you came up with, that they're in the Bible. They're releasing you, because once you spend time, you start becoming part of that. It becomes part of you. So as we go through and we become spiritually active, yes, singing loud and dancing can be part of that. But being spiritually active is that day-to-day thing where it's part of you, not just one day. Now, have I got it right? Ask my wife. She'll tell you no. Will you get it right? Well, if you do, can you let me know how? Because we will all make mistakes along the way. But the important thing is, as we spend time in the presence, that's the biggest mistake we can make, is to say that I'm not going to because I'm not worthy. Because you are. We are co-heirs. We have inherited those. Thank you.